taking refuge in the Buddha, taking refuge in the Dharma, taking refuge in the Sangha. So when we look around, you see a lot of suffering, don't you? You see a lot of anger, ignorance, greed. So what is the cause of all this, really? Identification. I, me, mine. That sounds very simple. But we fool ourselves all the time. That's somebody else's problem. The way I look at things is just fine. Right, of course. So Zen tries to take us beyond this deluded view. And what is that? Just this. So yesterday, the Supreme Court voted down 5-4 the attempt to make churches exempt from the COVID-19 rules that the governor had put in place in California. And Roberts sided with the liberals, said, no, you're not going to get away with this. And one of the dissenting judges from the conservative side, Kavanaugh, made these straw man arguments. He pick and choose what was important and what wasn't, instead of taking in the reality of the situation. He was looking at it from I, me, mine, and his religious views and his views generally, without really looking at it with an open mind and clear thinking, clear mind. So not that I go along with what's been happening in the Supreme Court these last few years. Nonetheless, this time something really important happened. So the safety and well-being of very many people was put in front of this ideology, this idea that I, me, mine comes first. No, it doesn't. I, me, mine is what causes all this grief and suffering that's going on right now, including the anger. So there's different kinds of mind. One kind of mind is losing mind. And you're losing it all the time. Every time something changes, your mind changes. Also called monkey mind. So when you're happy, because everything seems to be going well, you're happy. Something comes along, somebody robs your purse while you're walking down the street, and you become a totally different person. New mind. So this is samsara, correct? This is the constant movement of playing around in the world of deluded view, ignorance. And while you're there, you're probably going to get angry. You're also going to feel greedy. So it all comes down to what so often has been talked about in Buddhist practice. No self. What is no self? Get off your high horse. Stop thinking you know. See things as they are. Let wisdom flow. So another kind of mind is once you start practice, it's empty, everything is empty. Anger doesn't happen. Third kind of mind is big eye. Big eye is clear like space. Clear big eye is the bodhisattva. Never thinking of self. Bodhisattva never say, I'm on the bodhisattva path. That's deluded view. When you say, I am on the bodhisattva path, you're not a bodhisattva. You're working towards it, fine, but you're not there. If you were a bodhisattva, you would never say, I'm on the bodhisattva path. And you would never take credit for anything. There's no I. There's only, how can I help you? How can I help in this situation? Save all sentient beings. So anger? I don't think so. Are there reasons to be angry? Maybe, maybe. But the cause of suffering is nothing new. The current wave of frustration and anger and resentment that you see in the streets, it's understandable, very much so. But coming back to that Supreme Court, what we need now is clear mind, clear thinking, acting truly. So why are the police having so much trouble? I, me, mine. This is my group here. We have to protect each other. Instead of calling out the bad apple and having it be a bodhisattva way of a teaching lesson, no, like the situation with Kavanaugh and Roberts. Kavanaugh called him out. I mean, Roberts called Kavanaugh out. Said, no, this is deluded thinking. We're not going to do that. So where does that courage come from to stand up to those things around you that are maybe popular in your particular group, but not correct? It comes from mind clear like space. There's no having to be one way or the other. There's no do it this way, not that way. It's what's correct right now in this moment. So coming back to our practice, protesting, wonderful. It's really sad, isn't it, how things have turned once again to people harming their own place, their own lives by acting out, just harming themselves, not doing any good, just letting anger flow, hurting themselves, not changing anything for the better. Is there a problem? You bet there's a problem. What's the solution? Get off your high horse. Drop it. All of it. Be real. Be honest with yourself and everyone around you. Stop belonging and start being who you really are. To me, that's the answer. And I know I sound like I'm lecturing, and it's not you that I'm lecturing to. I'm just suggesting that we need to take a close, careful view at how we react to what's happening around us. It's important. Keep a clear mind. Don't get caught up. You're not helping. So, back to the bodhisattva. When people are sad, bodhisattva is sad. No difference. So please continue your good work, your good practice. Be loving and kind and generous. Practice the precepts if that's what you need to do. Meditate more if that's what you need to do. Smile a little. Get some fresh air. Take care of yourselves. Remember, greed, anger, ignorance have no hold on the awakened heart. That's where to come from, the awakened heart. You change what you can. Starts with us, each of us. That's what we can change first. You know, during the struggle with Martin Luther King, you know, all his nonviolent resistance, at the same time, there were a lot of pressures to go the other way, to get even, to resort to violence, to take over, revolution, et cetera, et cetera. He stayed on his path for the most part. And yes, he lost his life. But we gained so much more. So you can protect your life out of fear and anger and resentment, or you can take the bodhisattva path. So that's my social commentary this morning. Because I'm sure it was on everyone's mind. There's a lot going on. And I'd like to open up now, just chat, whatever it is you'd like to talk about.
Hi, yes, Veronica. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to see you all. Good morning. I'm just so glad you mentioned Martin Luther King, because I had a teaching class on him and Gandhi last week. So I saw this video PBS about his life, which I had already seen, but you know, every time you see something new. And what struck me about this new version of seeing that video was that, I think it was Dorothy Cotton mentions that when Martin Luther King walked into a room, he's calm. He had this kind of energy that everybody got very calm. Everybody came out of their craziness. And it wasn't that because he was an idol. It was something he transmitted. This is what Dorothy says. It was something he transmitted that everybody came into this place in themselves, because he was in that place in themselves. And what I also noticed, and this is very interesting because you mentioned it now, no? What I also noticed is his eyes, when he's talking and when he's moving and blah, 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 his eyes seem to be really looking inside, not so much outside. I mean, there's obvious they're looking outside, but there is a looking inside all the time. They have this thing. Yeah, it was for me a revelation. You know, for me that was more important, what happened, what didn't happen, he wasn't faithful, you know. But that he stuck to his path, and he definitely had a connection.
Yes. Yes, I see that in him too. Yes. Not just in him, of course. But, you know, that's, you know, Buddha nature. We all have it. No one has it more than anyone else. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful.
How does it help the proverbial me? How does that help me not isolate myself and say my problem, my idea, my identity, my worry? Okay. So to me, it focuses back on that question, what is this? Because that question, what is this, causes a step outside of the identity, outside of what is this. It gives the third eye, the third perspective, the non-dual perspective, because otherwise you're just bouncing back and forth between what am I worried about, what am I upset about, what are they doing, why are they wrong, to wait a second, we're all a reflection, almost no matter what happens.
Yeah, so keep asking. I think that you're doing really great with that question. It's keeping you from getting too caught up, isn't it? What is this? Good.
It doesn't keep me from getting caught up. It just gives me a place to go with it.
Good. Keep it up. Yeah. Keep it up. Anyone else?
Did anybody see that incident in Flint with the police department there, where they took a completely different approach to dealing with the protesters that were on the street there?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. It's quite remarkable. Instead, yeah, you know, they were all there in their riot gear and helmets and the rest of it. And the police chief asked the protesters, "What do you want us to do?" And they took off their gear and walked with them. It's quite something. It's worth a look.
Wow. My heart just fluttered.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's powerful stuff.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'll check it out for sure.
That happened in New Jersey as well. They asked, it was a peaceful protest against injustice, and the police joined the protest.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully there are enough people wearing that blue uniform that they will stand up to those that need to be stood up to within their own ranks. You know, unfortunately, something like this really, you know, brings to the forefront how those other three policemen that were standing there, you know, could have done something and they didn't. And that's a huge lesson for them. Oh, once again, this isn't the first time, and I think it's so healthy for everyone to see that. So I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah, because obviously police departments are struggling with this issue. And I think most policemen are there to serve the community. And there are some that are in there for other reasons. And that makes everybody look bad. So sometimes cleaning house. I was told a long time ago when I was a young man and I was just learning to drive, that if you get stopped by the police, there's two approaches you can take. One is you can see them as a threat and be hostile or fearful, or you can see them as a public service and servant and treat them like that with respect. I've always treated them as a public servant, as they were doing me a service. Now, I'm not black, so I have some things going for me, good old white guy. But nonetheless, you know, I have other friends who didn't treat them that way, and they always got the tickets. What can I tell you? That's nothing. I'm not some sort of special guy, you know. But I think people respond to how you treat them. Right? Of course.
So good morning, everyone.
Hi, Russ.
Thank you, Will, for your talk. Spoke to me on several levels. One is it reminded me how easily provoked I am, and that's not a very zen-like way to be. Well, it's very disquieting to be in a constant state of provocation. It's hard to be effective that way, I find. I like the fact that I have that depth of feeling and commitment and am spurned to action. But a lot of it I feel is wasted energy because I have a difficult time directing it, focusing it to its maximum effect, or what I perceive to be its maximum effect. Thank you for talking about the Supreme Court case, which I was not aware of. So I'm going to definitely read that. But I love the story because just the idea of Roberts spanking Kavanaugh is very gratifying to me. For many reasons, gives me hope. And the thing about the police, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this to you or to other people, but for many years when I was working in Washington for their corporation counsel and then attorney general's office, I did police disciplinary trials. Mm-hmm. Which is a civil matter. Quite often, you know, they're related to ultimately to criminal charges if there are any. But the impediments to even holding the police liable civilly, where they're then faced with some kind of job action, are incredibly big in that. You have that blue wall mentality, and they won't testify against one another for the most part. You know, that really creates havoc in this, and is a big reason that many people don't have faith in the system, because it doesn't work the way it's supposed to work or the way we would like it to work. And there's all kinds of reasons for that, in addition to the, you know, the brotherhood aspect. There's the unions are tremendously strong, etc. So the whole system is rigged, pretty much. So it's very frustrating, which goes back to the original injury here, killing Mr. Lloyd. So you can't help but, at least I can't, couldn't help but be provoked. Especially when you watch that video, which they played over and over and over again. So in a way, I have to step back and remember that I'm being manipulated to some extent by the media, because that's their job to kind of provoke people, and as well, hopefully, as inform them. So how do I stay on the Bodhisattva path to whatever extent I can amidst all this cacophony is a big challenge. Staying away from I, me, mine. Remembering the central question, how can I help?
Yes.
So it's a good reminder for me. Your talk was particularly appropriate for where I am today. And it's easy for me to lose my whatever sense of peace and calm I have. You know, there's all these opportunities to be provoked. So that's a test of my practice.
Yeah. Well, remember what I started out the talk with, identification. It all starts from there, where we identify. So we have to drop it continuously over and over again. Having a mind clear like space when we're not identified is always there. Yes, I guess you could say it's degrees. And identifying with having compassion for all living beings is certainly way up there compared to resenting certain ones and only hanging out with others. But at the root of it, identification is what gets in the way of waking up. So, how are we doing? Anybody else? So, Peter, nice to see you this week.
Society does change. I mean, there are cultural shifts, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to see how, what to do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to keep an eye on the big picture. And like you say, you know, change is happening. And there are good signs how through all this chaos and suffering, there is a kind of waking up going on. So it's wonderful that that's happening too. But it does seem like a slow progress, doesn't it? It's like we take two steps forward and three steps backwards sometimes, right? Yeah.
Question is, which is the bigger steps?
Well, that's why we keep practicing. So we're not weighed down by it all, and we can at least take our small steps in our own appropriate ways for our own lives and have hopefully influence whatever we can influence. It matters, you know. Sometimes it seems like we're so insignificant, but we matter nonetheless, each one of us. And what we contribute is important.
There is this, which is kind of the same thing as you're saying, this saying by Gandhi, anything you will do is insignificant, but it's absolutely essential that you do it.
Thank you.
So there you go. One mind.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, unless there's anything else someone would like to talk about, I guess we could call it a day. Yeah, we're good. All right. Thank you.